This was thank you, man.
No, no, it's all good. Praise the Lord. Hey, it's awesome to be here again in Kaikohe, and praise the Lord. I'm just going to open up in prayer for us, and I'll introduce you. Mike's done a great job of introducing us, and honor you, Mike. But look, it's I think it was how long ago were we here? Maybe a year and a half, something like that. And but things have changed. Things have changed. This has become wild. Wild. And but you know, there's a what we're sensing is a few things. There's a definite openness to the gospel of Christ here, and you know, we don't despise anything that what God is doing. We love the workings, the outworkings of the Holy Spirit. We adore them, we reverence them, and he's a wonderful Lord that we serve. And so we're going to enjoy the next few moments with you and the next couple of days and that with you guys. But yes, my lovely wife, we've been married about 31 years. All our kids reside in Rarotonga. Two of them are married Cook Island girls. And our daughter, who's in the middle, she's married a guy from Manahiki, which is up at the Northern Group in the Cook Islands. So we've got one grandson. His name is Armory Zeal. and then we didn't get to hear if she's Melody's pregnant with the next mokopuna for us. We're really excited about that. And but we just, it's very hard for anybody in the world to further the amount of grandchildren you guys have got. And it's amazing in that. But look, there's a lovely spirit here. There's a wonderful spirit in the life of the church. There's an openness, and just want you to open up your hearts and just relax. We're comfortable people. We get pretty passionate, and you'll see that in a moment, and about the things of God. But look, I want to honour Mike and Alison. I think they've been here in ministry for around about 30 years of ministry and 40 years. And then I said to Mike this afternoon, I said, there's an authority. There's different things that gives us authority, but one of them is longevity. And that's recognized in the realm of the spirit. Demonic spirits recognize length of time. When a pastor comes in and is looking at his watch to say, I'll do 5 years or 10 years, or I'll go for better things if a door opens, then it's just like they wait that out. They wait that out. They work people over emotionally and mentally, and the demons know what they're doing in these departments. And but when you put the stake in the ground and you say, we're here indefinitely, we're not interested in going else places, this is where we are, that's recognized in the realm of the spirit. So there's a real entrenchment that God has placed here, and there's a solidarity. And but let's believe for God to do great things. Father, we just thank you for your presence in Jesus' name. And we just thank you for Natasha's ministry, Lord God. And Father God, we just release their prophetic anointing, Lord. And we just want to bless her. Father, I speak a real openness in the realms of the Spirit, Lord God. Father, we speak expansion and multiplication, Lord God. And Father God, we just thank you, Lord, for the power of Jesus. And amidst the Holy Ghost, we just welcome you to come with power, come with might, come with strength, come with revelation and insight, Lord God. And open up our hearts, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Father, we just take authority of every stronghold in the name of Jesus Christ, Lord. And we just release the giftings of the Holy Ghost in our midst in Jesus' name. We love you, Holy Spirit. We've got a passion for you. We love your ministry. We love your administration, and we enjoy you, Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, God bless you. Let's put our hands together for Christ. And also, thank you.
Kia ora. Kia ora from all your brothers and sisters in Rarotonga. They send a big hi to you all, and we're excited to be here with you this weekend, and excited fellowshipping with Mike and Alison today, and just hearing what the Lord is doing in your town and what God is doing in the lives, and very exciting what God is doing in the community here. And yeah, honour Mike and Alison, and just thank you for having us. And yeah, it's a real honour to be here and minister and bring the word of the Lord to you guys. And I believe the Lord wants to encourage us in his spirit, encourage us in the word, encourage us in the Lord, and lift us up to a place of greater faith, greater presence of God, greater outpouring of his spirit. So you're hungry tonight, hungry to receive from him. So, Lord, we just thank you for your presence here, Lord. We thank you for what you're doing, Lord. We thank you for your goodness, Lord. We thank you for your power, Lord. We thank you, Lord God, that you're transforming lives, Lord God. And Lord, you're raising up your church in these days, Lord God. And you're causing us to conquer, Lord God, because we're full of your Holy Spirit, Lord God. So, Holy Spirit, we ask you to come and you'll pour out upon us, Lord God, tonight, Lord. Thank you, Lord, in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. So we've just come off a women's encounter in Rarotonga, and we've just had a fantastic weekend last weekend with the women, and the majority of them were on encounter for the first time. How many of you have been on an encounter weekend here in the church? Oh, that's awesome. So we had a whole bunch of new ladies coming through encounter weekend, and God just moved so, so powerfully. The first night, this is how the woman run encounter weekend in Rarotonga. The first night, we empty out our trash can and we get out all the sin and junk that we need to confess to one another. The Word of God says, confess your faults one to another, pray for one another that you may be healed. So on the first night, the woman empty out and just confess their sin. They don't tell the stories, they just confess their sin. They take responsibility and bring it to the light. And these women just brought it all out, and they were just in a real place of receptivity to the work of God. And then the next day, God just moved so, so powerfully. Deliverance, healing, we talked about forgiveness, repentance. But in the ministry sessions, honestly, it was a room probably a little bit smaller than this. And the power of God came in that first deliverance session, and you couldn't hear yourself talk. Even with the microphone, no one could hear, because the screams and the yells of people, these women getting set free, was so overwhelming. It was beautiful. So I've got permission from a few of these ladies just to share some of the testimonies of what happened in their lives, because I think it'll be encouraging. One lady, a beautiful lady in Rarotonga, she's probably in her 30s, she was conceived in rape and incest, when she was conceived, and she carried this real deep shame and rejection in her life. She couldn't, she's a great leader, but she couldn't get up and speak in front of anybody. She got up that first night and just confessed her sin and, you know, just the stuff that she had been carrying, and she just got dealt to in the ministry of deliverance and baptism of the Holy Spirit came upon her. In the Holy Ghost session, the Holy Spirit just came, and there was just such joy and laughter. All the ladies were just laid out on the floor, and it was just beautiful to see the joy and love and presence of God overwhelming them and overtaking them. And then she just got up and testified. Normally on a Sunday, she sits in the very back row because she's too ashamed to get anywhere near the front. And then on Sunday, just gone, she was up the front worshipping the Lord and giving praise. Yeah, awesome. Another lady, it's actually her mum, she was there on encounter, and she'd be in her late 50s, maybe early 60s, and she said, this is the best weekend of her entire life. And it was just beautiful to hear her share what God had done in her life and testifying how awesome it was encountering God and what he did. There was another lady there who's not a Cook Islander, she's from overseas, and she was in deliverance, and I could tell that she was wanting deliverance, and you know, there's stuff there, but she wasn't, you know, getting that breakthrough. And the Lord just gave me a word of knowledge about idolatry of her ancestors and the worship of idols. And as I spoke that out over her, she started to renounce the false gods that her grandparents and great-grandparents would have served. There's, you know, the scripture in, and scripture in Exodus chapter 20, I think it is, verse 5, where it says, if you worship carved images and false gods, that a curse and the iniquity comes down on the third and fourth generations. So she took responsibility on behalf of her ancestors and renounced the idolatry. And as she did that, there was a breakthrough, and she just got set free, and there was a shift. And then she testified that she had ridden that area on her sin sheet, but she never confessed it on the Friday night. But she said, isn't it amazing how God brought that out and brought that to light? There was a, yeah, amen, give the Lord praise. There's another lady, beautiful lady, and she's part Cook Islander. And when she's had a very traumatic childhood, and she had multiple years of abuse in her life. And when she was about 12 years of age, because of this abuse, she went to her grandmother, who was a witch doctor, and she asked her for help because she wanted to fend off her uncles that were doing things to her abusively. And she said when she went to her grandmother, she felt these spirits enter her. And then when the uncles would come, she would manifest these demons, and they would freak out the uncles, and that became her protection. And on this encounter, she was, you know, manifesting in the deliverance session, and that was through the first session. She didn't get a full breakthrough. We did another session on deliverance, and then she just confessed that area, and we prayed for her, and she's only a little lady, and honestly, I think she grew. Like, whether she went up on her tip-tops, I don't know, because I was just looking in her eyes, confronting that spirit and commanding it to come out, because it was really aggressive. You could see it wanted to kill me. And I'm saying, the blood of Jesus, you cannot touch me, the blood of Jesus, and I'm going for the spirit. And then this spirit inside of her just rose up into, like, this might, like, wanting to attack, and then boom, she smacked down on the ground. Her head hit the ground. I thought, oh no, she gonna survive? And then the power of God came and she got set free. So just beautiful, powerful testimonies. I just want to say and declare that the Holy Spirit is so powerful. He's God. There's nothing He cannot do. And when He encounters our lives, we are never the same again. The Word of God says, whom the Son sets free shall be free indeed. And God is doing beautiful, powerful things right across the earth. And, you know, when you look at the Word of God in Isaiah 60, when it says, when deep darkness covers the earth, that the glory of the Lord shall arise upon you. And I believe that the glory of the Lord is going to pour out upon His church in these days in ways that we've not seen before. I believe there's an acceleration in the Spirit that God is wanting His church to step into. The power and the presence of the Holy Spirit. That we would move within our communities and in our families and in our streets with His anointing to set the captives free, to break the chains, to deliver people from addictions and bondage, to fill them with the Holy Spirit so that we're full of joy and life and peace. That God's moving in us, and yeah, we're just, the very first time I encountered the Lord was I was 7 years of age, and at 5 years of age I had an abusive event happen in my life and brought real fear and intimidation to me. I was brought up in a Roman Catholic church, and at that time, back in the 70s, the Holy Spirit started moving through the Catholic Church, and they had these charismatic masses, they were called, and I went along to one of these as a seven-year-old, and I could sense God was there, and I knew it was the Holy Spirit because the priest was talking about the Holy Spirit. And at the end of the mass, I said, I want the Holy Spirit. I want the Holy Spirit. And I'm tugging, get that man to pray for me. I'm saying to my dad, I want him to pray for me. I want the Holy Spirit. And he came down really graciously and prayed with me, led me in a prayer. And the Holy Spirit came in by salvation, and I knew I was changed. I had God on the inside of me. I knew I was alive. I knew I felt the love of God. I remember skipping to the car park across the road with my dad afterwards with such joy, and I remember saying to him, I'm so happy, I'm so happy. And that was my very first encounter with the Lord. And from that time, I had a hunger for God. I was still in the Catholic Church for another decade, but all through that time I was hungry for God. At 12 years of age, they were having Life in the Spirit seminars, they were called, and I said to my dad, I want to go to those meetings. And it was all old people and me, a little 12-year-old going, because the hunger of God was inside me. And that's what the Holy Spirit does. He puts a hunger inside of us for His Word, to know God, to be desirous of Him, to want more of Him. And this passion and this zeal and this fire is birthed inside of us. And I want to talk about the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit tonight because, excuse me, I'm drinking. talk about the Holy Spirit tonight because I believe he wants to pour out upon us afresh. And I've got a little illustration for us. I'll do it up here because I don't want it to... This is you. This glass represents your life. And inside your life, before you're born again, you have a spirit, human spirit, that prior to giving your life to Jesus Christ is dead in sin. The Bible talks about us being dead in sin. And we're dry. There's no life inside of us. But then when we surrender our life to Jesus Christ and we encounter God, just like I did at 7 years of age, the Holy Spirit comes in. Holy Spirit comes in and pours into our spirit, and our spirit man becomes alive, and we carry the presence of God, the indwelling Spirit of God on the inside of us. And that's what happened when I was 7, and would have happened to most of you here tonight, that you've become alive in Christ, and there's a desire, and there's peace, and there's joy, and there's love, and you know that you've been adopted into the family of God. That's the indwelling Spirit of God. But sadly, that's where many of us stay at this point. But the Word of God tells us there's more. There's more. I'm just going to read a scripture to you. In John 20, verse 19, this is when Jesus, Resurrection Sunday, had risen from the dead. It said, then that same day at evening, so the day Jesus rose from the dead, being the first day of the week, Sunday, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews. So they were afraid because their Savior had gone, you know, Jesus had been crucified. It says Jesus came, so he would have come through the walls most likely, and stood in the midst of them and said to them, peace be with you. In other words, don't have fear. And when he said this, he showed them his hands and his side, and the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. So Jesus said to them again, peace to you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. He was the firstborn of the new creation. When he conquered death and sin, he was the first of the new creation. And then he, through breathing on the disciples, had brothers of the new creation. They became born again. They became a new creation in Christ Jesus. They became out of the old covenant into the new covenant where the indwelling Spirit of God came on the inside of them. So that's what happens for us when we get born again and the indwelling Spirit of God comes inside of us. But then there is more. Acts 1, 4 to 5 says, and this is what Jesus said, he commanded the disciples not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Acts 1:8 says, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. So he was saying, okay, you have received the Spirit of life inside of you, you're born again, but there is more. And he says, wait in Jerusalem, because I'm going to pour out, not many days from now, but the Holy Spirit's going to come upon you, and you're going to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. And we know that Jesus ascended, and then on the day of Pentecost, Acts 2 verse 1, the day of Pentecost comes, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And there appeared to them divided tongues as a fire that sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. So let's just illustrate that. This is you, alive in Christ. The baptism of the Holy Spirit gets poured out upon you until you are filled to overflowing and you are baptized in the Spirit of the Lord. And that's how our life is meant to live, with the overflowing presence and power of the Holy Spirit coming out of us. What happened when they were baptized in the Holy Spirit, they began to speak in tongues, because the first thing is out of the heart, the mouth speaks. And when the Holy Spirit comes upon us to fill us to overflow, we can't help but declare and speak. And they were given a heavenly language, the gift of tongues, to speak and declare the praises of God. And to, as you know, they spilled out into the streets and 3,000 people got saved under Peter's anointing that day. Oops, it's overflowing everywhere. Okay. So everyone knew, when that happened, everyone knew that it happened. It enabled them to move in supernatural power. They received boldness to witness. They received the revelation of the word of God. They were released into their destiny, and all Jerusalem felt the impact. 3,000 were saved that day. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is described in Acts 1:5. You shall be baptized in the Holy Spirit. Acts 1:8, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Acts 2:33, he poured out this which you now see and hear. And Acts 10:44, the Holy Spirit fell upon all those who heard the word. So when you receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, it's like being in a river or a waterfall, in a river, but the waterfall coming down upon you, and you're submersed and overwhelmed with the Holy Spirit. And I don't know if you've received that, but you know, we need the fresh infilling of the Holy Spirit daily, because we can leak. we can leak the presence and power of the Holy Spirit unless we're continually being filled with the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 5 tells us, be filled with the Holy Spirit. And that word be filled means it's an ongoing verb, continuously being filled with the Holy Spirit. And I want to talk tonight about how we be filled with the Holy Spirit. I've got three I's of how we to build and receive and grow in the Holy Spirit. Because I know that in these days, the Holy Spirit wants to flow through His church like never before. He wants to impact us like it was in the book of Acts, where they turned their cities right side up, where God came with miracles and deliverances and power encounters that they spilled out into the communities, and people's lives are radically, radically changed. And, you know, it's just incredible to think that God has limited His reputation and His power to humanity. But the way He's done that is by giving us His Spirit. And I want to talk about how we come into the fullness of the Holy Spirit in our lives, how we walk in the power of the Holy Spirit, how we grow in that dynamic. Amen? Amen. Without the Holy Spirit, we are nothing. Amen. Human effort, we can be busy doing a lot of stuff, but unless the Holy Spirit's moving, it's ineffective. We're not changing lives. We're just, you know, there's no amount of human effort that brings forth the power of God, the life-transforming power. The first one is identity. And I think this is a real key for us as believers, is that we recognize our identity is in Christ. It's not in who we are in the natural. I've got a question. How many of you have a degree or a qualification of some sort? Awesome. Congratulations. How many of you own a house? Awesome. That's great. How many of you have money in the bank? Awesome. I haven't got my hand up for all of these things. How many of you have talents in music, sport, technical things? Yeah, probably all of us should have our hand up. We've got talents in some way. How many of you have children or grandchildren? Nice. Awesome. How many of you have sin issues? Don't put up your hand. Okay, these are all natural things in our life. But I want to tell you, in Christ, you are not your sin. In Christ, you are not your wealth. In Christ, you are not your family. In Christ, you're not your whakapapa. In Christ, you are not your talents. In Christ, you are not your qualification. And the word of God on, it says in, we're going to turn here, go to Philippians chapter 3. I love this. If I can find it. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians. I thought I'd marked it out. Philippians chapter 3. It says here, this is Paul speaking about his accomplishments. He said, "For we are the circumcision who worship God in the Spirit, rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh. Though I also might have confidence in the flesh, if anyone else thinks he may have confidence in the flesh, I more so. Circumcised on the eighth day, of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, concerning the law a Pharisee, concerning zeal persecuting the church, concerning the righteousness which is in the law blameless." So what he's saying is, I'm super qualified. I'm from the right family. I'm from the right educational institute. I've done everything right according to the law. I've had zeal. I've had all these qualifications in the natural. You know, right from my birth, at circumcision, I've had everything in order in my life. You couldn't get a better breed. You couldn't get a better qualification than this life. And he says this, "But what things were gained to me, these I had counted loss for Christ. Yet indeed, I also count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and I count them as rubbish, that I might gain Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ Jesus." So he's talking about our natural selves, our natural identity, our natural qualifications, our natural achievements, our natural heritage. All those things are useless in the realm of the Spirit. All those things are count as rubbish, except for the knowledge of gaining Christ, of being like Christ. And I think sometimes we limit ourselves to the fullness of living and walking in the Holy Spirit because we have attachments to these earthly things. We're still gaining our identity from our natural things, the things that we have done, the things that we're associated with, the things that we think we're good at. We're holding fast to these things to, like, prove ourselves, to show ourselves, to be ourselves. But the Word of God says all these things are rubbish. All these things are useless. There's no supernatural power in who you are in the flesh. It doesn't matter what race you are or nationality you are, ethnicity you are. It doesn't matter what you've achieved on this earth. It doesn't matter which family you were born into. It all counts for nothing, except for that we are filled and coming under the power of the Holy Spirit. And we've got to make a decision. And I think this is key. We've got to make a decision that I will no longer look to these natural things for my identity. I will no longer try and draw strength from where I've come from or what I've achieved. That I'll no longer get my source of self-worth or self-esteem from these things, but that I'll let all these things go, that I might step into who I am in Christ, that I might step into the power of the Holy Spirit, that I might see that the Holy Spirit is all I need on this earth. If I have him, I have everything. If I have his power in me, I have everything. God is all we need. And when we come to that revelation that we're nothing in the natural but everything in him, then we're free to move in his power. We carry his Holy Ghost. So I want to encourage you tonight, let the Holy Spirit convict you. Sometimes we don't even realize what we're holding on to in the natural. But God will bring us to places where he confronts us with these things and shows us. For me, like when we moved to Rarotonga, I had to leave behind family, spiritual family, just all those things, even carpet. When I first moved to Rarotonga, I missed carpet. It's like stupid. Why was I worried about carpet? But these are things that our natural affections, our soul gravitates to, just carnal, earthly, natural things. There's not hardly any shops in Rarotonga. I had to leave all that behind. You know what I'm saying? Just the things that we get used to in our world, in our society, in our life, that our soul gravitates to. But God brings us to places where we make a choice to let go and to give them up and recognize that they are worthless, that in the end they count for nothing. And we've got to receive, we've got to let go to receive. We've got to lay down to allow the Holy Spirit to come in. So that's the first thing, identity. Galatians 2:20, I've been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Romans 8:9, you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. But if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to him. So in order to be fully functioning as a Spirit-filled, empowered, anointed believer, we have to let go of our identity in the natural person and live out our life in the revelation of who we are in Christ and who he is in us. Amen. Number two, immersion. Second I, immersion. That's what I was talking about before, about being continually filled, praying in the Spirit. Now, after we've been baptized in the Holy Spirit and received the gift of tongues, that gift of tongues is a prayer language. It's a language in the Spirit that connects us directly with God. It's a language in the Spirit that the Bible talks about edifies yourself, that when you pray in tongues, you edify yourself. So every day, every morning, we should be getting up and praising the Lord, having time in his presence, worshiping the Lord and praying in tongues. And when we pray in tongues, it's like we're building up our spirit man and refilling on the Spirit till we're overflowing. And it's that and I'm coming up into the heavenly realm. I'm coming up into the spirit realm, up above the natural, up above the circumstances, up above the pressures, up above the things of the day. And I'm arising in the Spirit. And I'm living out of that supernatural realm in the Holy Ghost. So speaking in tongues, it energizes you, it enlarges your spirit. It enables your soul to be energized with communication to the Holy Spirit. You know, when we are in the Spirit, refilling, praising the Lord, faith arises in our heart. We can believe God for unexpected things. We can believe that, you know what, today anything could happen. One of the girls in Rarotonga on the Friday night of Encounter, she went home to sleep and she drove halfway around the island, and on the way round, she was the first on a scene of a young guy about 19 years of age that just come off his motorbike. And she stopped the car and she put a roadblock so people wouldn't hit him. He had blood pouring out of his ear. He was unconscious. And then a few others gathered in. And she just said, I don't know anything medically to help this guy, but I do know the Lord and I'm going to pray for him. So she starts praying over him and commanding life into his body and healing into his body. And when she finished praying, there were others that were attending to him, and she said, well, I think I've done my job. That's all I can do. And the other guy said, you've done the most important thing. He went to hospital. She followed him up, and he was in hospital. I think on day two, he was still in a coma, unconscious. And then she went up and prayed for him. And day three, she got some of the church going up praying for him. And he became awake. He couldn't hear. And then day four, they're back up and his ears open and he could hear and talk and speak. She put scriptures up all around the room of the hospital for him to look at. His dad and mum were there. She prayed over them. And my last message from her is I'm inviting him to church on Sunday, which will be like tomorrow. So praise the Lord. You know, when we're in the Holy Spirit, God causes us to be at the right place at the right time. We have divine opportunities. We have, you know, miracles happen through us. It's like our lives become God's vehicle on earth. Our lives become His hands, His feet. We're there at the right place at the right time to bring about the presence and power of God, to shine forth the love of God, to bring hope to this world, to bring life to the dead, to bring healing to the broken. It's the power of the Holy Spirit moving in through His church that everywhere we go, we're carrying the presence of the Holy Spirit. Everywhere we go, we're bringing life and change and healing. Everywhere we go, something miraculous can happen. And we just got to have our eyes open. We've got to have our ears listening to the Holy Spirit, what He's saying and what He's doing, and realize that we are His vessels. We are His carriers. We carry His presence. And like that scripture, it's no longer I that live, but Christ that lives in me, that we are the hands and feet of Christ in this world. And we carry the anointing. I was thinking today, there's nothing more valuable on the earth than the Holy Spirit. Nothing more precious, nothing more valuable, nothing worth more than the Holy Spirit. And He's the one that we need to seek. He's the one we need to desire. He's the one we need to pursue, that we need to hunger after. We don't need to worry about the natural things. We don't need to worry about pursuing wealth or pursuing business or pursuing anything else, relationships, all that stuff. All we need to worry about is pursuing Him and allowing Him to take over us. And the Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these other things will be added to you. If we pursue Him and His Spirit, then our life comes into divine order, and He orders our steps in miracle upon miracle, blessing upon blessing, breakthrough upon breakthrough, advancement from glory to glory, from faith to faith. God moves in our lives, and we become the evidence of God, the evidence of the love of God on this earth, and we shine Him forth out of our eyes, out of our hands, out of our words. It's the presence of God coming forth, and people feel the love of God through us, and people wonder, what's that person so happy about? Why is that person not getting stressed out? Why is that person not freaked out? Why are they not fearful in these uncertain times? Why are they not worried? Because they have the presence of God. And we become a testimony of what God is like on the earth. Amen? Yeah. Awesome. The third eye, intimacy. Matthew 25, most of you all know the story about the foolish virgins. 10 virgins, 5 foolish, 5 wise. And what I want to bring out about that, the 5 wise ones were wise because they carried oil. The 5 foolish ones were locked out because they did not carry oil. Oil was accessible to all 10 of them. It was available to all of them. But 5 of them chose other options. 5 of them chose other things. They did not choose the oil. They chose, I don't know what they chose. They wanted the bridegroom, but they didn't choose the oil. The oil speaks of the Holy Spirit, intimacy with the Holy Spirit. They didn't pay the price to carry that anointing. They didn't pursue the Holy Spirit. The Lord wants us to be pursuing Him in these days. He wants us to be desiring His presence, to love upon Him, to feel His love in our hearts, and to enjoy Him, to conversate with Him, to have Him be your best friend. That, you know, it doesn't matter what's going on in your immediate family, it may be in your marriage or your relationship or with your kids or what's going on. If you pursue the Lord, it's the most important thing. That's the oil that we need to be carrying in these days, is intimacy with Him. I think we really need to be inquiring of the Spirit of God in these days about our decisions, about what we're going to do. We've got to be sensitive to His voice about our day. Is this what you're saying, Holy Spirit? I was thinking this, just because something is right, like, oh, that's right or that's truth, it doesn't mean it's of the Holy Spirit. You know, the Bible says there's a way that seems right unto man, but in the end it leads in death. Just because we think, oh, this is the right thing to do, doesn't mean it actually is ordained by the Holy Spirit. We had an experience a few months ago in the church where a young girl, through a set of circumstances, was under a lot of pressure at home. She wanted to make a choice that she felt was the right thing to do, and her mother opposed her. Her mother wasn't in church. She got aggressive with her and violent with her. One of the leaders in the church brought her round to our house, and we gave some counsel without inquiring of the Lord. And the whole thing kind of snowballed, and it had a ripple effect to people in our church who were upset. And we took a step back and said, Lord, what's going on here? What's going on? And the Lord spoke to us and said, you didn't inquire of me. Just because you thought it was the right thing, it wasn't the counsel of the Holy Spirit. So we repented. We went and spoke to the family and said, look, we acted wrongly in this. We, you know, didn't make the decision that God wanted. We want to ask your forgiveness for not first inquiring about the Holy Spirit. The Lord said to us, humble yourself and reach out. So we kept doing this, humbling ourselves and reach out. And as a result, then the presence of the Lord came back, reconciliation took place. But, you know, I think we need in these days to just carry a real sensitivity to the Holy Spirit. Listen to his voice about our decisions, about our future, about our relationship. Ask, how, Holy Spirit, how do I go about this? How do I, you know, move in this way? How do I, you know, what are you saying for me to do? Because it's all about relationship. It's all about listening to him. It's all about connection. I felt for the church here, Mike. I felt like, this is what the Lord spoke to me, John 15:2. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. And I felt like the Lord say that this is a fruitful branch. The work of God that you're doing is fruitful. But there's going to be pruning that you might bear more fruit. And to inquire of the Lord about, it says, my Father prunes the branches. And we've got to hear what the Father is saying about which branches to prune. Just because sometimes things look like they're bearing fruit, it's hard for us to let things go because they are fruitful. But the Father prunes things that are fruitful that they might be more fruitful. And so I feel like there's coming a streamlining and an effectiveness and a drawing in closer into intimacy of the Holy Spirit, that greater fruitfulness and greater anointing might be released. I guess it's that whole abiding, you know, the Mary-Martha situation. Martha was busy doing lots of works, and they were good things. God didn't say they weren't good. Jesus didn't say they weren't good. But he said about Mary, she's chosen the better way. And the most important thing in our life is that we had that oil, we had the intimacy with the Lord, because out of that comes the great fruitfulness, out of that comes the power to change lives, out of that comes the presence and the anointing of God that we so desperately need. Amen. Galatians 5:16 says, walk in the Spirit. It's saying walk in the Spirit, not beside the Spirit, but in the Spirit. Oneness in the Holy Spirit. Walk in the Spirit. Listen to the Spirit. You are one with the Spirit if you've been baptized in the Holy Spirit. Walk in him. Identify in him. Be in him. You cannot walk in the Spirit unless you talk to the Spirit. If you're not listening and you're not talking to the Holy Spirit, you're not walking in the Spirit. It's each step of your day, Holy Spirit, lead me. Holy Spirit, he promised to guide us. He's promised to speak truth to us. He's promised to teach us. And we're to walk in the Spirit, being sensitive and listening to what he's saying. Amen? So that's my three eyes. We'll go back. What's the first one? Identity, immersion, and intimacy. And I believe the Holy Spirit wants to minister and touch us tonight. So maybe if we can have the band back up, that would be awesome. And I just want to invite you to come out. We're going to sing this worship song, and then we're going to ask the Holy Spirit. We're going to ask Jesus actually to baptize us afresh in the Holy Spirit and pour out upon us. So if you're hungry tonight, I want you to come up the front and let's sing maybe the last song or whatever song you've got there, Holy Spirit song. Let's stand to our feet, church. Let's just be hungry for him tonight. Say, Holy Spirit, I long for you. I hunger for you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Maybe just begin to focus in on him. And let's just sing the song. Let's just worship the Lord and turn our attention on him and lift up our hands and yield to the Holy Spirit. Come out the front if you want to worship out the front. If you're hungry, come out the front and receive from the Holy Spirit tonight. Thank you, Lord. She andaranda basiti ande. She andaranda maso. Ko andaranda basi andaranda mase. Oh, Holy Spirit, we love you. Oh, Holy Spirit, we desire you. Oh, we want you, Holy Spirit. We're coming up in that realm. We're coming up into the heavenly realm. Come, Holy Spirit. She andaranda basi. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Let's lift up our hands, church. Let's worship the Lord. Me, Lord Jesus, I surrender my life afresh to you. I acknowledge that you are my Lord and Savior. And Lord Jesus, I ask that you would baptize me in the Holy Spirit, that you would fill me afresh by your Spirit. I yield to you, Holy Spirit, and I receive a fresh and filling of your power and your presence tonight in the name of Jesus Christ. And I just want you to receive now, just allow the Holy Spirit just to come upon you, just take a deep breath in, allow